I want to read a passage from Isaiah chapter 31, verses 1 and 5. You can read them all, of course, but I'm just going to look at those particular verses this morning. So in Luke 31, did I say Luke? I do want to get to Luke, but not right now. I want Isaiah 31. Lou's probably back there going, good grief, I wish he'd get it right. 31, verse 1 says, woe to them that go to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. And then in verse 5 it says, as bird flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over it, he will preserve it. Father, be with us this morning as we look at your word, and we are in troubling times, most assuredly. Pray, Father God, that you will speak to hearts in the Holy Land and touch lives there as you are doing. We praise you for that. Many people coming to Christ, both Israelis and of the house, the Arab people. Father, you love them too. Pray, Father, you be with them. Help them to stop this animosity. Come to Christ. Be with us now as we look at your word. Pray, Father God, that you'll touch our hearts with the purity of it, with the power of it, and guide us in the truth of it. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever? And of course, I want to know you. Of course, you have, because you're human. Have you ever come to find out that you, in spite of all that you've done, all your efforts, your best efforts, it just didn't happen? Your strength just wasn't enough. Your words weren't enough. Your deeds weren't enough. It just didn't happen. You've done everything that you know how to do, but nothing changes. You're exhausted. You're discouraged. And so sometimes we get to that place of discouragement and we just say, oh, Lord, I can't take it anymore. You need to do something. I'm just going to lie down, eat worms, and die if you don't do something. Well, for one thing, I believe with all my heart, never, never, never give up. If this is something the Lord has laid on your heart, don't give it up. That's the devil telling you, give it up, give it up. Don't do it. Never, never do it. It's always too early to quit. Always, always too early to quit. I know, you know, some of you may not realize this, but my wife's a kind of a football fanatic. She really is. I think I like football. I think I enjoy it a little bit. But she's a nut. She's a fanatic. She picks teams for no particular reason other than she picked the Vikings because of the color of what? Their uniform. She likes, that's not it? The color of their uniform, well, she said that's not it. Well, why did you pick them? Oh, Brett Favre, years and years ago. Okay. Well, I thought it was the color of the uniforms. But anyway, Brett Favre. Okay. Well, last year, I don't know if you know that, the Vikings were playing the Colts. And again, I probably, not a great Viking fan, not a great Colts fan. Matter of fact, I don't know what kind of a football fan I am. But anyway, I probably went to bed. I do that every now and then. The Vikings were losing by 33-0. Might as well go to bed, right? That's what I did. But I get up in the morning, and I find out that the Vikings, in overtime, beat the Colts 39-36. I should have realized it's the Colts and the Vikings. Anything can happen, you know. Well, never, never give up. That's what we need to do. This was the largest, I'm told, recorded NFL comeback in all of history. So the Vikings have got part of that, and the Colts have got part of that. Okay. Well, listen, friends. It seems like the world we live in is just plunging itself into another catastrophe after catastrophe. We're on the edge of war. We now have Israel and Hamas fighting in the Holy Land. And, of course, we know that Hamas is under the influence of Iran. And launching terror attacks in Israel. They're killing all kinds of folks. 1,400 people were taken prisoner, I understand. We don't know where they are or what's happened to them. So there is a fear that this crisis, which is truly a crisis, might escalate and draw the whole Middle East into war. And that's very, very possible. But just a second. A few days ago, the Gaza line protesters erupted and surprised me that this would happen. And it happened in the United States. That's what surprised me. Here we are in the land of the free, the home of the brave, and we've got people marching down the street screaming and yelling and acting like crazy people in support of Hamas. Mass pro-Palestinian protesters taking to the streets. Protesters even swarmed the Capitol. Now, sometimes I think that might not be bad. You know, the British burned it down one time, didn't they? Yeah, they did. Do what? Could be. Who goes? I don't know. The British did it at least once. So maybe it needs to be burned down again. You know, I don't know. And, you know, we actually have four members of Congress who are vocal in their understanding of Islam and their Islamic faith. They're pro-Palestinian all the way. One of those guys, woman, is her name is Ilhan Omar. And she's from the great state of Minnesota. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know how you get things in your mind. I think of Minnesota as being just study Eddie people. You know, not anything to the right, not anything to the left. How'd you get there? Well, and then we have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's from New York. Now, I got that. There's a lot of nuts in New York, so she just won. But Minnesota, that doesn't fit. Rashid Tlaib is from, Dennis, you know where she's from? Bishkek, brother. Yes, Bishkek. We lived up in the UP one time. My dad was in the Air Force, and he was stationed up at K.I. Sawyer. And I was getting ready to go to Osan, Korea. And so I took my wife up there. She had never been any further north than Birmingham, Alabama. And I took her to the Upper Peninsula in Michigan in the winter. We came up, as we came up to the bridge, you'd kind of pop up a little bit of a hill. You see the lake? It was frozen. There were waves, you know, still frozen. That was April 14th or 15th or something like that. I don't know how far it is from there to K.I. Sawyer, but she cried the whole way. She was just, could not be consoled. You've got to straighten up here, you know. You got to. Anyway, and I'd never been up there before. And the further we went, the worse it got. We were up in the UP, never been on that road before or anything like that. And she says, I need to go to the restroom. I need to go to the bathroom. Okay, all right. Well, the next thing I see, I'll stop. And so I stopped. It was kind of like a little convenience store, I think. There was something there that had a light on anyway. And I said, maybe go in there and see if they have a restroom. I'm not getting out. Well, you're not getting out. I thought you had to go to the bathroom. I'm not getting out. I said, I don't even know where we're at. I have no idea what's coming up. This might be the best place on this whole road for all I know. I'm not getting out. I don't know how she did it. Miracles of miracles. She didn't have to go to the bathroom. We got all the way to K.R. Sawyer. Yeah. So I guess it's just motivation, right? You're not going to go to the bathroom in that place. That's all there is to it. You know, whatever. Well, you know, it's common sense. And you'd think the people in Michigan might have some common sense. Evidently, some have missed the basket, you know. But nevertheless, these folks are representatives. They're congressmen. I think that if I was Minnesota and I was Michigan, I'd recall them. I'd set them down and send them home. Let that one go back to where she's supposed to be from. She's here illegally anyway. You can't marry your brother in America. She married her brother to get into America. Back home. But anyway, that's just me, just a stupid Baptist preacher. I don't know. But anyway, there's our situation, isn't it? It's all over the place. Now you're thinking to yourself, I thought you were going to look at Luke chapter 8, verse 43. I am. And this has something to do with it. It's a tenuous link, but it's something to do with it. So Luke chapter 8, verse 43, it says this. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could she be healed of any. When was this? First century? Yeah. We got a lot of medical people in here, so I don't want to say it, but it hasn't changed a whole lot. You can spend a lot of money on physicians, can't you? You surely can. She came from back behind Jesus and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood was stenched, it was quenched. I was saying this morning, what she touched was like that. Just like that. That's not much, is it? She immediately touched that, and Jesus said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And of course, the disciples thought, "What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you." But Jesus felt the virtue go out of him when she touched his garment. The problem was, of course, 12 years she'd been sick. Nobody could heal her. Nobody could do anything. She put everything she had into the doctors, and they couldn't do anything about it. So she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. The hem. And immediately, she was made whole. I think to myself, there's something very, very important in that little, tiny bit of information we have there. As the world sees things, it was hopeless. It was hopeless. But this lady, fearfully, I'm sure, trembling, I'm sure, but she didn't reach out and grab Jesus' garment. She just touched the hem of the garment, and she was made whole. Isn't that amazing? Amazing, isn't it? It's wonderful. It's fantastic. It's what I would call a miracle. That's what I would call it. But I don't know how you would characterize this. And of course, Jesus says out loud, everybody is standing there, who touched me? Peter, of course, he offers his good advice. He said, Lord, you know, there's people all around you. Everybody's touching you. There's a throng here. What are you talking about? You know. But of course, Jesus was talking about the unique thing. He was touched by her faith through that little tiny, just a small touch. Friends, listen. You don't have to be Billy Graham. You don't have to be the prophet Isaiah. You don't have to be Elijah. You don't have to be Elisha. When you get down on your knees and you pray, God says, hello, I hear you. We have that great opening, that mountain of blessing coming our way. In verse 48 it says, because disciples and all, everybody was around there, thought this was terrible. And Jesus said to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Wow. Wow. Now, here's a lesson, I think. It's never too late to come to Christ. And he will never despise you asking. He will never despise your reaching out to him. He will never despise you touching him. The crowds were wrong. The disciples were wrong. God is faithful and just. If we are willing to confess our sins, he's willing to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That applies to everybody. Everybody. Does that apply to the people in the Holy Land? I think so. I think so. What tribe was Jesus from? Judah. Yeah. So he was a Arab? No, he was a Jew from the tribe of Judah. But listen, be a Jew or an Arab or whoever it might be, call upon the name of the Lord and God will respond to you. He will respond to you. If you tried everything that you know how to do, you put everything into it and nothing happens, then don't stop trying. Stop trying to do it in your strength and in your might and in your wisdom and try Jesus. And he'll surprise you what he can do. She was desperate. You know, I think sometimes it's a good thing to get desperate, because we do things that we might not do otherwise. And if we're talking about this kind of situation in the sense of drawing close to God through Christ Jesus our Lord, then it's good. It's good. There's a little chorus. I was going to try to sing this morning, not realizing. My wife has been telling me all week long, because I've kind of had a little cough. She said it's acid reflux. Anybody know what acid reflux is? Some of you. I don't have acid reflux. I've had acid reflux before, and when that goop comes up in your mouth, you know it, because it tastes like acid. It's horrible. I just have kind of a scratchy throat and a little bit of a cough. It's not acid reflux. But I'm going to try it anyway. It's just a little tiny piece of a chorus. It says, weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. What's it say? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. You don't have to be Albert Einstein to understand what that means. She came to Jesus. She put her complete faith and trust in him, touched the hem of his garment, and boom, she was made whole. How many examples do we need? Well, the next one was Mark chapter 12. It's the story of the widow, and the widow's mite is what we call it. It's found over Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. And it says, and again, he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head. Oops, that's not his, is it? Yes, and behold now, the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. They came to a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which makes a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and said to them, Jesus called them to take it. Look what's happened here. He says, verily I say unto you that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into this treasury. For all they cast in their abundance, but she, out of her want, did she cast in all that she had, even all her living. She was going to trust God or die. Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, I understand, I've seen and saw some graphic illustrations that, of course, may or may not be totally 100% accurate, but there probably was something like that in the temple. They had these big brass, we'd probably call them horns. They had a big mouth and they kind of went like that. And people would cast their offering in there. And it was made out of brass. And so if you cast, oh, 20 silver dollars in there, what's it going to do? It's going to really make a sound. But if you cast in a farthing, what was it going to do? Maybe bink. We always got the wrong thing on our mind. It's not how much a person puts in the offering. It's how their heart is when they put something in the offering. You're not going to bribe God. I think about some of these guys that go along all their life. Frank Sinatra died. I didn't even know he was supposed to be a Catholic. Did you? I didn't really know that. You know, he finally gave the Catholic Church $2 million. Okay, well, if that reminds me, you know, if it had been me, I took it, sure. But it reminds me of the little lady who came to the pastor and said, "Pastor, I want you to baptize my dog." And the pastor said, "Listen, ma'am, we don't baptize dogs." She says, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that." She said, "I would prefer you do it." She said, "But I did talk to the Methodist minister down the street and told him that I would like to have my dog baptized. And I told her that if he would baptize my dog, I'd give $80,000 to the building fund." The Baptist pastor immediately said, "Oh, I didn't know it was a Baptist dog." Isn't that the way we are? We always want to twist something. It's just simple stuff. Keep it straightforward. Come to Jesus and live. He's the one. No matter if you have great faith, little faith, hardly any faith at all, if you'll trust him, you'll never, never, never be disappointed. That's the story of the widow's mite as well. She's giving everything she has. If God does not take care of her, she's out of luck. The amount monetarily was not much, but God sees that woman and the beauty and proportionally those little mites. She gave her all, everything she had. God's provision, or else she was going to starve to death. Maybe you're like me. I would say, "Lord, help me have faith in you like that little woman." Wouldn't that be good to live that way? Trusting all the time. Trusting. I believe with all my heart that when we trust the Lord, he never fails us. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that when we lay our petition before him and whatever that request is, God says, "Yes, that's fine." But I believe he takes it under consideration, and maybe the petition you laid before him, if God would answer that, would not be sufficient to really touch your heart. He's got a better way, and he'll do it over here. He'll do it over here. I like to watch the History Channel, and I like especially to watch the History Channel when it's talking about, you know, like World War II or something like that. And it's not just talking about the actions and things like that in a kind of historical framework, but it's talking when they interview the guys that were there, their words. I like that. So this was right before Normandy, right before D-Day, and this guy is on the film there. He said they knew that it was going to be murderous to hit that beach in Normandy. Lots of folks are going to get killed. Lots of folks. He said, "Yes." He said, "We realized that." He said, "We were anticipating, you know, probably not making it through." But he did. He made it through. He hit the beach. He was one of those guys that hit the beach and made it through that. And they were back somewhat off the beach. And the Germans, of course, were regrouping to attack again. So they knew that there were going to be another battle the next morning. And his platoon was real small by that time. And they were talking about what to do. Of course, some guys had some good ideas. hey, let's find somebody and surrender to them before they kill us. You know, all that kind of stuff. But they were sitting in the dark. He said he doesn't know who it was. He said, but he heard this beautiful word. He heard somebody in his platoon, one of the survivors, say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses where we've trespassed against us." He said that guy was praying the Lord's Prayer. Praying the Lord's Prayer. And he said this, "I believe that our prayer as a platoon was that prayer." He said, we went from there, or he did. I went from there to Berlin on that prayer. Yep. He said, I became a praying man. Now, I don't know how old he was when they were interviewing for the program, but he was not a young man. In the midst of great evil, America has probably never seen, we must never forget and never give up trusting the Lord God Almighty, our Savior, our Lord, our God. Jesus, of course, is God's Son, second person of the Trinity. He came, he lived, he died on the cross, and he arose again the third day. The third day. Our God is God. Praise him. It's always too soon to give up. It's always too soon. Our God takes the things that seem to be impossible to us and does something so simple but so powerful that it causes us to stop, take account. I don't think God is done with Israel. Jesus is of the tribe of Judah. Matter of fact, I guess because I claim Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I'm a tribe of Judah as well. Did you know that there are a great many Muslims right now today that are receiving Christ all over the Holy Land? These battle-hardened guys? They are. They are. God's doing all kinds of things. He's using dreams and visions and what other, I guess it'd be Hamas, men tell each other to bring them to Christ. And I don't think God is done with them. And God's not done with Israel. And God's not done with us. It's amazing the grace that God gives to us. In Psalms 72, it says this very interesting thing. I get hung up on words. It says, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." And I thought, oh yeah, there's that word amen again. We've looked at that before. It means truly, doesn't it? Or certainly. The Bible is the very word of God. It is true 100% from beginning to end. Every jot, every tittle, every word, every line, every phrase is just exactly the way it should be. And I've thought to myself, in this terrible situation, have you noticed it? I've noticed it. Sometimes these newsmen will stick the microphone in front of somebody's face and they'll ask them whatever's going on or whatever, and they'll take that interview, and then they'll say something like, you know, "Amen. Back to you in New York." I don't know if they know what they're saying. Do you? I don't know. Yeah, amen, back to you in New York. Yeah. Interesting, isn't it? The other thing, have you noticed that? Has anybody heard that? Just me? Well, I'm looking at the news all the time. But anyway, the other thing that they're saying is something else. They get done with the report, and then they say, we're praying for you. Boy, I didn't know ABC, NBC, and CBS and all those folks could say that. Must be a war. Must be, don't bother them. They're in danger. It's a dangerous situation. We're praying for you. I like that. Praying for you. Amen. It's amazing. Our failures do not define us. They're not the end, but rather they're the opportunity for us to grow in faith in Christ. That's what those are. And they are signs to everyone around. They can't make sense of it. They can't understand it, except they hear those kinds of things. Amen. I wonder what that means. We're praying for you. I wonder what that means. Desperation sometimes opens the door to mercy and grace. That's all there is to it. That woman was desperate. She was at her wit's end. That was the last thing she could do. Boom! She touched his garment. Boom! She was made whole. Desperation. Don't worry about being desperate. Desperation's okay. That's good. Maybe that's the exact spot that you finally got into that God can talk to you. That woman with the issue of blood. Desperate. And God did something great. And you know, you realize all kinds of cultural things were going on there. She wasn't permitted to talk to Jesus in public. She wasn't permitted to touch him in public. Those were all no-nos. But yet, she was desperate. And she reached out and touched that garment. Boom. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples, of course, said, "You got to be kidding me. Everybody's touching you." Isn't it amazing? In desperation, in truth, in seeking, looking for what we should be doing all the time, then sometimes God just takes the blinders off and we can see for the very first time. I've looked up the word jihad a couple of times and looked up a whole bunch of things about Islam. Of course, we talked about Islam being part of Abraham's family. You had Isaac, laughter, and you had Ishmael. Ishmael is the Islamic side. Laughter is the Jewish side. What are we? We're the engrafted ones in Jesus' side. That's who we are. So next time somebody's talking to you on the news and stuff like that, next time you're over in Israel or something like that, and there's all kinds of jihadists running around shooting, carrying on like that, and everything like that, and they ask you something, you know, who are you? You can just say, I'm a Jesus man. That makes me a tribe of Judah. That makes me the promised heir to Abraham. That makes me part of God's forever family. How about you? Do you want that? Amen. I'm praying for you. Wow. Amazing, isn't it? It's amazing what God is doing. God is doing all kinds of things. Special things that he doesn't normally do, I think we might could say. So what we should be doing here, well, other than calling for a recall to a couple of Minnesota and Michigan people, we should be praying for them. Both sides. Both sides. The whole country. The whole peoples. Ishmael's descendants. Isaac's descendants. Praying for them. That God would lift that veil of hatred, prejudice, and injustice. And they'd see hey, he's just like me. She's just like me. Matter of fact, we may be in the same household and family of faith because of who we are. And God can do great things. I've taken it on myself to add a couple people to my prayer list lately. And I'm looking for God to do some great things in their lives. Wouldn't it be amazing if Talib, however you say her name, from Michigan, would come to the Capitol steps instead of being just blurting out junk over junk over junk, to take the microphone and say, hey, God spoke to my heart. I was on the wrong side of everything, but I've received Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to tell you how you can too. Woo! She'd probably be stoned to death before she'd leave the podium, save that God would save her and lift her up, and she would be just walking right straight through that crowd. They wouldn't be able to touch her. Amen. Amen. That prayer carried me through D-Day, through Normandy, all the way to Berlin. He said, now, I'm a praying man. See, that's probably some of our problems. We haven't experienced Christ in such a real and marvelous way as we don't really think we are part of the family of God. We're just kind of outsiders trying to do the best we can. No, we're insiders. We're God's children. He loves us. Amen. Amen. Father God, we ask you to continue to be with those today who are in leadership positions. We pray for our president. We pray for all those commanders and all those folks that have the terrible responsibility of directing what's happening in the situation there in Israel. But Lord, we want to pray for the Palestinians, that they too might recognize their birthright. They too might recognize the need for salvation in their life. We pray for our Jewish friends, Lord, that they too might stop scoffing at Christ and lift him up, embrace him as Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Father, I thank you for those that are working there right now, all kinds of people. Some are giving out Bibles. Ooh. Some are giving out tracts. Some are feeding, some are watering, all in the name of Jesus. Amen, Lord. Amen.